Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along. It's episode 163 of the Milk Bar. Jason Forrest here and Zoe languishing at home at the moment.
Yes, I am indeed.
So you're joining us by the magic of Skype.
I have a naughty husband who hasn't got home in time.
Oh dear, shocking. But you're still with us nonetheless. And yep. Apparently our chemistry works really well, so we have to be here. Do you want to know how I know that?
How do you know that,
Jason? We were reviewed on Podcast Squared this week.
Really?
Yes, I think it's the weekly, though, do their episodes. And they tuned in, heard us doing a show, and they liked the way we chat to each other, which is nice. So thank you to the guys. They basically did say, though, was if you weren't from Wolverhampton or the surrounding areas, a lot of it wouldn't make any sense to you. But I think basically it sounded like we were fulfilling our remit, sharing stuff with the people of Wolverhampton and also from a little further afield, too. But there we are. So what sort of week you had?
Okay, feel a bit poorly, though.
Oh, well, what's wrong?
Bit of a cold over the last few days.
Oh dear, just because the sun's come out, it could be hay fever.
Yeah, well, it sounds a bit silly because it's quite hot, but yes.
No, you are often a bit silly, so we make allowances for these things, but there we go.
How about you? Are you off abroad again soon?
I'm going to America in a fortnight's time. So you'll have some programme coming from somewhere. I'm not entirely sure what we'll get. We'll work out our usual structure. But more importantly, though, we've got our show this week to look after.
We'll be talking to Marcus Asprey in the spirit of the Olympic.
And also Ty Matthew Harris, letting us know what's going on with his production taking place at the Crescent Theatre. Music this week comes from The Trade, and we'll be talking to Ross a little bit later on. First of all, we go to the phones, where we find Phil Davis. And he's going to talk Tiger Awareness. Hello, sir.
Hello, young man. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, very good. Thank you.
Now, you've been a tricky man to tie down because you've been doing all sorts of work recently with some exciting new projects on the way as part of Tiger Awareness.
Yeah, well, yeah, we, you know, as you know, Tiger Awareness is a charity that I founded in 1998. We work at ground level. I was there in November and beginning December last year. Just recently, I've just written a book about my sort of times in India, you know, how we help, etc., called My Encounter with Tiger in India. People can buy that through, you know, the information's on the Tiger Awareness website or Dreamstar Books. But say the information's if people go to Tiger Awareness website can see, you know, a bit more about it and learn about it, or they can, you know, contact me through Facebook if they want to, or Twitter. And I'm, you know, trying to do everything we can now. We've got a sponsored cycle ride from Leicester to Skegness, end of August bank holiday, and a few other events between then and now and then to November, culminating Go to India in about for about two or three weeks beginning November, and you know, and trying to raise as much money as we can to help at ground, tell that money to help at ground level in the areas that we're working at the moment.
And I suppose the book really gives people the chance to find out the detail of what goes on, because when you're trying to put together several thousand words, you can actually say a lot more than you can on a few blog posts, and people have time to read it.
That's right, they do, and there's a lot of pictures in there, about 50 odd pictures. You know, I could have put hundreds in, but I mean, obviously, you know, obviously got to limit it sensibly, and it's everything from my first visit in 1999 to the visits, various visits in the Sundarbans, Bandhagar, Ranthambore, and how we've helped, and hopefully it helps these other organisations as well as self, you know, and there's a bit more about, you know, if you like, a bit more of a background about myself, you know, so it can give people more, as you say, an insight to read it at their own leisure, rather than, as you say, rather than reading it on the internet or something like that, where they may feel more comfortable reading that at home, and but also hopefully it gets, you know, we've the publisher said it might be an idea to put, you know, hopefully people might like to help more, you know, about what work we're doing at ground level.
Hmm. Is there lots of pictures in it?
There's about 50 pictures in there, various things from, you know, we sort of scattered them through sort of quarter of the way through, so some tiger pictures that I've taken, all the pictures I've taken by myself, and then, you know, various people, some people I've met and different animals from, you know, from a young lad with the t-shirts, and that were done at a school in Loughborough that we gave to them to say that, you know, showing that people do care and how we've helped at ground level, and you know, and people I've met along the way.
So you say you've taken some of the pictures yourself? So
they're all my pictures. Yeah, everyone's in mine. Yeah, including the picture on the front cover of a tiger. Yeah.
Oh gosh.
they're all taken by me, and you know, I mean, we're not making a lot of profit to be honest from it, but you know, any excess after the printing and publishing, you know, goes to Tiger Awareness to help out. It's not going to me. It helps at ground. You know, helps our work. Mm-hmm. We're not making a lot, but you know, it's an opportunity to get people to know what we're doing about there. But I'd say any excess from that of printing and postage, you know, we've had quite a, you know, I only did it, finished it about 3 weeks ago, you know, first actually finished the writing, the, you know, getting it printed, should I say. And, you know, it's, like I say, it helps us at ground level, so, and hopefully more people may want to, after reading it, to help us, you know, help our work at ground level as well.
And do you get to know some of the characters that you meet up with as well?
Because
there must be loads
everyone.
Of people you go back to.
Yeah.
And you've seen the same people who are working closely on your behalf.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, we work in sort of five main areas, and, you know, you get to know the people a bit more about what they're doing at ground level and how we're supporting them, and, you know, and how difficult it can be. I mean, it's written really as like a bit of a travel diary, but, you know, but in a layman's terms, because I'm not into, you know, I've used a few big words, but it's, you know, I've tried to write as I'm talking to a friend as we're talking on the radio now, and I think that's very important to put it in terms of people can understand, and hopefully maybe encourage other people if they don't want to help Tiger Awareness, but just help and, or even visit, you know, and they can see it themselves and correlate what's in the book to, you know, ground level reality, and because there is such a diverse thing, you know, a lot of people hear a lot of bad things about the corruption and whatever, but we really don't work in that way at all. We work with people at ground level. We meet, we see how they want to help, how we can help, and then, you know, see that with my own two eyes and other people, and then, you know, we can, you know, help them work in that way forward, you know, so that, you know, and 80% of the time I actually take the money with me to be able to buy it, physically buy it myself and help at ground level, and the other 20% maybe things will come along that, you know, when I'm not there, that desperately need supporting, and, you know, we've got one area at the moment up in Uttar Pradesh whereby there's a young guy with a team of 7 or 8 people now. He only had 4 last year, but he's got 7 or 8 now, working closely with the forest department, literally protecting the tiger. He's a young tiger. He doesn't want to stay in the forest. Tigers don't know boundaries. We put them there as human beings, and he is an honest, hard-working guy. I met his family. It's so humbling to actually these people invite you into their home to have something to eat, some chai, which is tea. You know, and it's so, you know, humbling to be able to go and visit these people, but also equally, they're doing work on a day-to-day basis where they're literally, you know, they've got trying to stop the villagers hurting the tiger, but they're trying to stop the people hurting themselves, you know, because, you know, the villagers obviously want their sugarcane fields. Tigers love sugarcane fields because it's good camouflage for them to, you know, eventually sugarcane grows to about 12, 15 feet tall. And it's good cover for them, you know, and also animals can walk in there, and, you know, it's a good chance for them to, sometimes the herbivores, which they survive on, but they also take occasionally the villagers' cattle, or the villagers' goats, or the villagers' dogs, and, you know, and all the villagers may be injured. So we try to help with that in some sort of way with compensation that might help them.
And to try and put them off killing the tigers, basically.
Yeah,
it's a pest. It's the same as having rodents in your garden.
It's not exactly, in India it has been since the 70s, it has been protected, but as you say, before the 70s it was classed as a pest, including China, including India, many other places. I'm glad to say it's not now, but as you say, local villagers with that sometimes haven't got that education, whatever, they do class it as a pest, as you say. It's always taking my thingy. So they're working day in, day out, and they're literally putting their bodies online sometimes, putting big nets across between the village and the tiger to stop that conflict. And, you know, but they were, you know, he had his camera taken once. He's got it back eventually, but it really isn't easy. And, you know, it's, you know, not an easy job, but a very important job, very worthwhile job. And that's just one of the areas we're supporting. And, you know, we support things like nature education, where that's why we call Tiger Awareness, because it's making people aware of all the issues. When I first started, it was about the tiger, but obviously, as I've learned over the last 14, 15 years, you know, we're inextricably linked. It's helping the people, as our logo is now, small, helping people, conserving tiger in the wild. You know, if we help the people and try and find a balance, these guys will take people into the forest and get a better understanding of what nature can benefit them from. But also, if there are things, you know, they can report back to them, rather than just literally killing it or stoning it to death or shooting it or whatever, as you say, as a pest.
So if people do want to read your travelogue in the best way possible, which is always on paper, in my opinion, how do they get hold of a copy? And
they go to the Tiger Awareness website, as I say. You know, they can go to the Tiger Awareness website. The contact details are there. Book's $12.95 plus post and packaging, which is $150. You know, in the UK, if it's outside the UK, we are putting about £5 on, because it's, you know, it's gone to America, it's gone to Germany, it's gone to Australia, it's gone to Belgium, Switzerland. But the costs are a little bit higher abroad if anybody wants to buy that, which I'm sure they understand. But on the other side, like I say, you know, they can go to the website and they can do that via Tiger Awareness's website with the contact details there on the About Us page, or they can do that through Dreamstar Books, who are the publishers.
So what's the full website for Tiger Awareness?
It's www.tigerawareness.co.uk.
And you can put it on there. Thank you for joining us, Phil. Always good to talk to you. Keep up the good work, and hopefully a good, successful trip out there for you later on this year too.
No worries. Thank you very much for having me on, and you know, keep up the good work yourself. Appreciate having me on today. Thank you very much.
Cheers, no problem. Ta-ra for now.
Bye.
Bye.
Right, let's take our first track from the trade. This is their brand new single, Do You Want It? Stride and their brand new single, Do You Want It? And joining us on the phone now from the band, we have the bassist Drew. Hello, sir.
How are they? How are we doing?
I'm good. Now, you don't have a Midlands accent. Whereabouts in the world are you from?
Well, I'm currently in Arbroath in Scotland, Angus, on the coast. And we're all kind of from this kind of area, for Arbroath, Dundee kind of way, which we're kind of in between Dundee and Aberdeen.
So I know Aberdeen. I've been up there several times for work,
cool.
So I'm aware of that corner of Scotland.
the cold corner.
It is a bit chilly. No,
windy.
It's not great up there as far as weather goes. To be fair,
and you get proper snow. The sun's actually splitting the sky just now, so not too bad. Can't complain.
Making the most of what you call summer up there.
That's it. Yeah, totally.
So does this influence the music in any way? Are the Stride providing us with tracks which are good to keep warm to?
Well, I suppose you could kind of say that. I think we do kind of have the thing with the Scottish music is it's all kind of divided into quite a lot of different groups. You know, there's kind of the Fife sound, the Glasgow sound, the Edinburgh sound, the Dundee sound, and we've kind of got our own sound as well, I think, in the Angus area. So that might have something to do with it.
And when you're touring, are you actually heading outside Scotland much, or is it mostly staying north of the border?
We do have plans to go back down to England again. We were there in 2000, last year as well, we did a kind of nationwide tour, which was all over the place, which was great fun. And then we'll hopefully be going back down to come back down to England again quite shortly, hopefully, doing a few weekends, back to back. So that's kind of the plan.
You need to come to Wolverhampton or the Robin 2, that's a good one.
Yeah, okay, cool. We haven't been to Wolverhampton before, but we'll have to shoot down that way, yeah, totally.
Certainly like to come along and see some of these tunes live. And the tracks we're hearing today are from Lie in the Dark, your album which you've been working for the last 12 months or so. And we've got two more tracks to come from there. Now, the three that we're playing, are they sort of very representative of the album and your sound, or do you think that there's more variety than what we're going to hear now?
Well, with the last album, it was built over, you know, that was from the start of when we started up. That was all the songs that we kind of came up with, we with the new stuff, it's definitely a different sound. We've got it's not totally different. We kind of just showcased them last weekend in a wee gig in Arbroath, and the kind of response we got was that they definitely sounded like Trade songs, but with a slight difference.
A brand new edge for 2012.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, definitely.
When you're writing, where are your influences coming from? Because you're in a cold place, top end of Scotland, but that can often feel a little bit marginalised, probably from not only the rest of Scotland, but definitely from the rest of the UK.
Yeah, I mean, the influences come from all over, really. We've got a bit of a range, and you know, the thing is, we're all really good friends who've known each other from before, and the influence kind of just comes from lots of different stuff in there. There's quite an age gap between a few of us, so the difference in influence that way comes on really well. I think it just kind of puts it together quite nicely. That's kind of where it is.
How does the lineup work?
Well, I'm a bassist with two guitarists, Ross, our singer, and the drummer. Sean, who just came into the ranks, our new drummer Sean.
So Ross is quite lazy and just sings. He doesn't do anything.
Ross just sings. Yeah, he's we've managed to get a guitar in his hands, but he's not had on stage yet. Which maybe for the public is a good thing at the moment, but he's certainly coming on.
He's not got a tune out of it at all yet.
Everybody has a different talent, though, don't they?
That's it. Ross has certainly got the singing and the. And the crazy stage presence under that, so we're
happy enough. Oh, is he a good dancer, is he?
He's still got the job at the moment.
I'm sure it'll work out well for him, whatever happens. But you never know, he'll be writing songs on his own and guitar. Before you know it, he'll be...
I know, that's it. He's just going to disappear with his own acoustic country jazz fusion, you know.
the single Do You Want It is out now. Where can we pick that up from?
The single is available on iTunes and everything will be up on our website within the next few days. But iTunes will definitely be available from possibly Amazon as well.
So search for the Stride in the iTunes or Amazon. And what is your website if you want to pick it up that way?
The website is www.the-trade.co.uk. And there's a mailing list available on there for people to sign up to if they wish. Plus, we're on all the social networks and all that kind of...
Are you on there constantly, though? Are you endlessly tweeting about stuff?
We usually are, yeah. at the moment, we've got quite a lot of exciting stuff coming up with the tour coming up and the single being released and also all the new material that we're coming out with. So there's been quite a lot of stuff to speak about. So they're all up on there. Everyone's kind of... All our new videos and stuff. We do have a video for Do You Want It as well. Which has been up and is looking quite good, so that's been getting plugged about everywhere that we can think of on the net.
Don't blame you either. It's all sounding great. We'll take a listen to our next track. The next one up is going to be called Let It Out. And how does this sit as far as the album goes? Is this one of the ones that is part of telling a story on the album?
Let It All Out was one of the songs that came up quite early after we had the original 13 tracks that were kind of written from the very start. They were from the very early times, and Let It All Out was one of the songs that we came up with earlier on that we kind of all really, really kind of fell in love with, I suppose. We got a really good review about it from the News of the World, Tim Barr on News of the World, and it's just he says, is a anthem. So we're quite happy with that as a description.
So here it is, the trade with our anthemic sound of Let It Out. Drew, thank you for joining us. Catch you soon. Ta-ra for now.
Thank you very much. Cheers. Bye. Bye.
Save the face on TV shows. You psyched on. you think that you could go your own way? Didn't you think that you could go your own way? Didn't you think that you could go your own way? Didn't you think that you could go your own way? Didn't you think that you could go your own way? Didn't you think that you could go your own way?
Now, Zoe.
Yes.
Did you watch the opening ceremony of the Olympics?
Oh, I did. It was fantastic, wasn't it?
The whole thing. It's all coming from London non-stop for the best part of 6 weeks now, because we have the Olympics followed by the Paralympics in London. And a gentleman who knows more than most about what it's like to take part in one of these events is Marcus Asprey. Hello, sir.
Hello there.
Now, you're a Paralympian?
Yes. It was 20 years ago, which seems like, to be honest, seems like only yesterday.
Well, it is actually 20 years this year, isn't it? Because it was 1992, you were in Barcelona.
That's right, yeah. That's right. As I say, it's still crystal clear in the memory. And it's, you know, I can't believe how quickly time has gone past.
Now, we often have a chat about some of the events that are taking place as part of the sports activities of Wolverhampton City Council, because you're working on many a project there, aren't you?
That's right, yeah. Now it's kind of our busiest time, really, because obviously with it being the summer holidays, we try and offer, you know, a number of opportunities for particularly youngsters that they can, you know, get involved and have a go and hopefully find something that they enjoy and, you know, and do well at.
Now, the number of times I've worked with you on the Jimmy Mullen finals, I did not know that you'd actually been to Barcelona and done your bit for our country. And so give us a bit of the history on what happened, because you must have been a young slip of a boy at the time.
Yeah, that's right. I was early 20s. And basically, I'd only been involved in the sport sort of 12 months previous. It all kind of happened very, very, very quickly. I got entered for the 1 and 200 wheelchair track sprint events. Again, I was a bit of an unknown quantity and vice versa. But, I mean, I couldn't really complain how it went. I finished fourth in the 100, missed the bronze by 300 of a second. But I was first European home and got a PB and a British record, so I couldn't really complain with that, because again, if you can't ask any more than a PB. 200 didn't go quite as well, finished sixth. I think perhaps inexperienced, a bit too relaxed. But again, it was, you know, fantastic experience,
but
all the same.
Let's put a measure of scale on this. You came sixth out of the world.
So, I'm
not going to complain about being sick out of the entire planet. So that's not bad at all, is it? To be fair.
No, that's right. I think I was a little, a tad disappointed. I can remember because I've kind of exceeded expectations in 100. I kind of was perhaps a bit overconfident in a way, a bit too relaxed, and I guess it's not a bad thing. It's a bit of a wake up call, a reality check. But as I say, unbelievable experience and something I wouldn't change for anything at all.
Mm-hmm. Would you think the atmosphere then is the same as it is now?
To be honest, I remember because the days we weren't competing, we used to go down to the stadium and watch some of the other team members competing, and I remember going to watch one race. It was sort of late tea time ish, and I was up quite elevated in the stadium in Barcelona, and the atmosphere was unbelievable. And I remember sitting there thinking, crikey, I wish I was, actually taking part, because it was the atmosphere was that good.
So,
the great thing is, over the years, obviously, disability sport, is getting higher on the agenda, is becoming more aware of it and appreciate, more about disabled athletes and the preparation that you need to put in place. So let's hope that, come this year or in a few weeks, they do as proud, and also the coverage that's offered is also of a high standard.
Yeah, and I think that's hopefully the case. And 20 years is a long time in the world of disability sport. And Channel 4, who are the Paralympic broadcaster, I think going into it, I think we can have every faith in knowing Channel 4 and the way they do promote and work well with such things. It should be a really good experience, and hopefully we'll see another 20 odd digital channels showing all the different activities taking place.
Well, I hope so, because you kind of think that you hope that each time it comes around every 4 years that they set a precedent so that the next games in the next country look at that and say, well, we need to try and match or better that, so, and you hope that things move on a pace in that respect.
Is there anybody that you think we should keep our eye on in this year?
There's a few athletes who are sort of been retired a few years now, but there's a few athletes still going strong. I mean, there's the wheelchair athletes, David Weir and Shelley Woods. Most of the guys that I'm aware of, sort of involved in track and field, but I think from my own sport, wheelchair track, as I say, look out for David Weir and Shelley Woods, because I think they should be certainly up there with the best anyway.
Yeah, fingers crossed for them.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be good to see a good medal tally, not only in the Olympics for the able body, but also the Paralympics too. And if anything, fingers crossed for more medals. I think the guys should hopefully do us proud.
I think so, because I know we finished very strongly in the last few games over the years. So, I see no reason why, again, we can't be as good this year.
Yeah, definitely.
And what have we got going on in Wolverhampton? Have you got any projects that you're working on at the moment for the summer months that we can give a plug to?
We have, yeah. We've just started a week-long athletics programme, which started today. It's on for the full week. Then we've got other courses. We've got Bikeability, which is a sort of cycle proficiency course, stroke leisure ride for, again, younger age group, which is going on throughout the whole of August. We've got Moving and Grooving, which is aimed at the younger age groups, sort of from toddlers to 7 years. We've got 3 dates for those throughout August, and then there's a multi-sport program right at the back end in the last week of August, on for 3 days, again, which is a variety of sport and activity over 3 days.
And if people want full details on those, what's the website?
It's www.wolverhampton.gov.uk/community-development, and our office number also is 01902 556 220.
So 556 220.
Sorry, I was going to say, my son's been on a few of these athletical programmes, and they are very good, and they're very worthwhile, and you know, they're reasonably priced as well, which is good.
Athletical, is that a word, Marcus? Have you heard that one before?
I think she's making it up again, isn't she?
Yeah, you know what she's like. But
you know what I mean, Jason.
Well, we have to make allowances for you, but there we are. Marcus, have a great time over the summer with everything you work. Oh, hang on, so you're talking again. What was that?
Either way, it's excellent value for money.
That's what counts.
And the kids enjoy it as well.
Yeah, and it did, particularly when there's so much sport on TV. It's good to actually, yeah, hopefully get their interest and get them involved rather than just sat in front of the Xbox or similar.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Well, that's it. I mean, the thing is, we've got, you know, we sort of putting it on at the right time, if you like, and at the end of the day, the whole point of it is that, you know, we get, give kids a taste and hope that the becomes embedded in part of their sort of lifestyle long term.
If only I'd done the same thing as a kid, but there we are. Mark, it's always good to talk to you. Keep us posted on what's going on and have a great time over the summer.
And you, thank you very much.
Cheers, drive for now.
Bye.
Let's take our final track from The Trade. This is Fight Club.
Fight Club starts on Monday. Always Right Club starts on a Friday. Through the Sunday, with a drink on board. Lay me down, hold my stare, beat it out of your hand. Pray for me when you see my sights still feed my mouth. But it all seems just so much better with a drink on board. Big, big talk, pros and cons. What's going on in your head? One last try, the game has lost. Oh, about its point and upset.
Club.
A while back we caught up with Ty Harris ahead of his production of Bear, which is actually there this coming Saturday. Ty, you were at the organisation stages, I think, the last time we spoke about it properly.
Yes.
And indeed. It's now days away.
Days away. Oh, my Lord. Stressful. Stressful, stressful, stressful.
So how's it all come together?
I don't actually know. It kind of just has. I mean, like, there's a lot of little things that I still need to do, but like as far as the production side of it with all the cast and stuff, it's really coming together. It's starting to take shape.
You've got a theatre and everything.
We've got a theatre.
Scenery?
Scenery, I'm building the final bit of scenery.
So you're making this at home? And then sort of casting it there, is that the way
to... Yeah, basically.
Yeah, really.
So it's got to be painted and stuff. And obviously it's a fundraiser, so it's all got to be done as cheap as possible. Mm-hmm. Not cheap enough, like, I'm not one of these that wants to do it that cheap and put on a rubbish show. I'd rather that spend more, put on a good show, but still try and keep it cost effective.
Otherwise, people aren't going to turn to anything you do in future either, are they?
No.
So. How many are in the cast now? Because I think there was about two people organised last time we actually had a full conversation.
I think there's roughly about 20 people in the cast now.
Mm-hmm. And full orchestra?
It is like, it's only a small orchestra for the show anyway, with it being a rock musical. It's not like I'm doing The Sound of Music. And
Although you've always wanted to dress as unknown, haven't you?
Indeed. Honestly, it's one of my main things to do in life.
And tickets are available, but they are going quickly, aren't they?
Yes.
So you need to get in touch.
You would indeed. So, I'll just find the contact number.
So you do that, but give us a bit more background for those who didn't catch your earlier interview.
Basically, the show is called Bear, a Pop Opera.
Yeah.
And it is about a group of friends who are all at a strict Catholic boarding school. But it basically, the show, it explores issues of sexuality and drug abuse and just general teenage growing up. It's like a coming of age story in a way.
Mm-hmm.
But the main plot line follows two characters called Peter and Jason, who are in a closeted homosexual relationship with each other. Peter is, you know, he's ready to admit to who he is. He's ready to, you know, tell his mother and start living the life, basically. Whereas Jason, he's a popular guy in school. He just doesn't want to. You've got that whole background of his family, and he thinks his friends are just going to turn away from him. He thinks basically if he comes out, it's the end of the world, and he's just happy with keeping it as is and just coasting along and, you know, being whatever he wants to be.
And to find out how it works out, you have to come along and see it.
You do have to come
and
along.
And it's at the Crescent?
It is at the Crescent Theatre in Birmingham. The number is 0121 643 5858, and that's the box office at the Crescent. There is a 2:30 PM showing and a 7:30 PM showing, and tickets are £12, so please come along and see it.
And we have a member of the company here with us. Mason is at the back of the studio looking very shy. Now, how can somebody be shy if they're going to go on stage and sing? I don't quite get that bit.
I'm not a confident person.
Okay, we'll let you off on those grounds here. But what's it like being involved in this one? Because your character is Chad?
Yes.
And what does Chad get up to?
I'm basically like a jock. I have a few solo lines in the show. I've got like a group of friends, like we're all one big unit, and we're all involved in drug use and stuff. But as Ty said, it's about Peter and Jason.
Yeah, so that's where it centres.
It is,
yeah.
But at the same time, it's the type of show where it is a small cast, it's not a massive cast, and every single, like, even the ensemble members, like, they've all got a purpose, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it really is important for everyone to know how they are, how this group interweaves together. I mean, with it being a Catholic boarding school, I wanted it that, you know, that they are quite close, you know what I mean? They are living together, in effect, you know what I mean? Obviously, you've got people who are closer than others, but as like Mason said, just as a unit, I did want them to come across as a unit, kind of like as a family in their own right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that kind of, that'll feed into the idea that it's not just like his family that he's worried about when he like went about coming out, sort of thing. It's his friends that he's worried he'll lose as well.
So the whole thing takes what, about an hour and a half to explore the story with an interval stuck in the middle.
It'll start half seven, but it'll be down by 10 with an interval, so it'll be about 2.5 hours. Obviously the story goes a hell of a lot deeper than just the two characters. I mean, there is three other characters around
the main part of the story.
It all feeds in into what, it's such an interesting story, I think personally as well. It is such an educational story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously times are moving on and homosexuality is starting to become a lot more accepted than it was, you know, 40, 50 years ago. But in regards to like you get to see it from different angles, which I find really, really interesting. Like, you get to see it from a parent's angle and about how she's dealing with it. But you also get to see it from, obviously, you've got two sides of the coin. You've got the guy who's ready to accept it and has dealt with it. And then you've got the guy who just physically can't deal with it. It's like, it's just complete and utter denial. Mm-hmm. And it is such a shame, like, to see like the drastic measures that he does take in the show and how the journey ends. And it is a really beautiful story.
And you've directed this.
Yes.
So you've chosen the way the characters are going to act and behave.
I have indeed.
And Mason, back to you. What's he like as a director? Because you've worked on a number of productions through your few but busy years. So, you know, how's it worked out for you as far as the way Ty's behaved?
Well, Ty's been really good direction-wise, giving people on things to do, like even chorus.
Mm-hmm.
Say, he's got the main principles, but he's even given the chorus a purpose, like getting your characters for starters and having to build that bond with other people in the cast.
So you reckon he's going to make a good director even if he doesn't cut it as an actor?
Yeah.
I think I've still got a hell of a lot to learn. I mean, mm-hmm. I've drew on the experiences that I've had. Like, I've worked with a lot of different directors sort of thing, so I've kind of...
That's because you're in everything.
It's because I'm in everything.
If there's an amateur production, you're in it, as we said before.
No, but like,
Mason's
like,
probably in at least most of them as well, aren't you?
Yeah.
He's starting to be that way. He's one to watch out for, so remember the name.
Okay.
You
haven't told us his surname. Mason, what's your surname?
Kelly.
There we go, Mason Kelly.
No, but like the guy I'm playing opposite, Luke Renwick, like, he's been good to have on board as well because he directs Impulse. So, like, you know, he's been someone that I've been able to learn off as well. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We're quite similar ages, but it's been quite interesting. It's been a learning curve for me because it's the first thing that I've done. Obviously, like, it's one of those things. I think you've got I've had the vision and I've known I know how I want it, and luckily I'm working with people that are able to give me what I want. But obviously, that isn't always the case when you're directing. Luckily, I think I've dropped lucky this one time. But you know, it's not as easy as people think to just direct a show. If anyone thinks putting on a show is easy, they obviously need to do it because it's really hard.
Certainly not. Whether it's down to getting splinters, putting the scenery together, or actually trying to get tickets sold and production and promotion.
It's not me. Look, a lot of companies, they have people that obviously you've got someone who does tickets, you've got someone who does costume, you've got someone who does set, you've got someone who's directing, someone who's choreographing, and literally it's just been me and my friend Anna putting it together. Anna's my choreographer.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first time she's choreographed, and she's brilliant, she's superb, and like, we've sat down together and we've said, okay, costume wise, like, we have liaised with each other, but ultimately, because it's my project, it's a fundraiser for me, it has all that to come down to me.
And this does pay for part of your time in London.
Now,
you've had some good news over your trip down south, haven't you?
I have indeed. I've been granted DADA, which is a dance and drama award.
It sounds ridiculous.
It does sound ridiculous, but no, it's very helpful. It's basically made the difference between me going and not going. So I couldn't have really asked for anything more, really. So just need to sell the show out now and I'll be cushy.
Brilliant. So the details again for ticket sales were?
They are. The box office is 0121 643 5858. It's Saturday the 4th of August. It's £12 a ticket and it's 2:30 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. So please come along. It'll be a superb show.
I'm sure that Mason would agree with that, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
There we go. Totally, because he's in it. But there we are. Brilliant. Thanks for joining us and good luck. And I would say break a leg, but you've already damaged your toe, haven't you?
So toe, yeah.
That does limit what you can do next.
No, that'll be fine. Fight through the pain. Strap it up and get on the way.
The show must go on. So, Mason, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much for having us.
Episode 163 then done and dusted. And Zoe, once again, another fun week. Thank you for joining me, even if it's only been by Skype.
Yes, in and out by Skype as well.
If you turned up, you wouldn't have had these problems.
Oh no, blame my husband.
That's the way. But what we'll do is we'll be back next week. You're going to try and get into the studio next week, aren't you?
Oh, definitely.
And then the week after, we should have a chance to get together just before my trip to the US. And
yes.
Then whilst I'm out there...
Nice present from there.
You want another present? I bought you a fridge magnet off the last trip.
No.
And have you...
I never like to go to these places, so it's nice to have something brought back.
Well, I'm off into Texas and into New Orleans. Where's New Orleans? Which is that in? Is that in New Orleans estate? Is that a state?
I think so.
I'm not really sure. I'm not very good at my American
You'll
geography.
You'll have to check while you're there.
I shall ask the question whilst I'm there. But that's not for another couple of weeks. Two more shows before I head out there. And next week, all the fun and games, and Zoe hopefully in the studio this time around, okay?
Yeah. Okie doke.
See you then. Ta-ra for now.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye from the milk bar. 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 Yeah. Goodbye from the milk bar. Yeah.